This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hey guys, it's Brittany Payton, and thanks for checking out another episode of The Suite Life, right here on the Bet Rivers Network.
We're going to jump right into this. I want to welcome everyone into another episode of The Suite Life here on the Bet Rivers Network. I am Brittany Payton, and I am so excited to be joined today by a legend. Yes, she is a legend in the sports media world. She's also celebrating 30 years at ESPN. Linda Cohn. You all know her from SportsCenter. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have you on. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
Well, thanks for that great intro, Brittany. And it's my pleasure to be a part of your podcast. And congrats. I mean, congrats on this. It's not easy to do. People think, oh, I'm going to start a podcast. It's hard to do. And congrats to you on your success and keep it going.
Oh, thank you. No, I appreciate it. It's a different world. It's something I'm getting used to being, especially just being on a computer screen when you're used to someone being in a studio and you've got the lights and people around. And then it's kind of different when you're just kind of on your own. But it is great. I'm so excited. And when I found out when you agreed to do this interview, you know, I was sharing with my husband. And so, you know, I really grew up watching you on SportsCenter. And when I talked to my husband too, he's like, oh my gosh, you're talking to the godmother of SportsCenter. Like, this is, I'm sure you've been called, but have you ever been called the godmother of SportsCenter? Because truly you are.
I like that. I like the godmother because, you know, in real life, I'm a mom. I'm waiting to be, I'm not a grandmother yet, but godmother is a good thing. I've been called many things, most of them positive that I know of. You know, queen, goat, and all that. But godmother, I'll take it. I'll add that to the list. And that's so sweet of your hubby to say that.
Well, we were just talking and sharing, you know, just some of his memories of growing up and watching you and just your accomplishments and kind of talking about this 30-year mark, which is huge. There's so much in media itself, sports media, there's so much turnover and, you know, people moving from one spot to the next. Can you believe when you look back and say, wow, I've been here for 30 years. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, Brittany, it's really hard to fathom for me because basically all I was doing was trying to do and be at my best every single day. And, you know, I never thought, oh, my goal is to be at a certain place, one place for that long a time. You know, I was raising two kids. My kids are grown now. And what that's what I'm most proud of because I was being in one place. They were able to have friends that, and to this day, they still have those friends. That's because I didn't jump around. I didn't look where the grass was always greener. I could have made more money in other places. I could have made those leaps and jumps, but I put family first. And so that's a big reason why I stayed with ESPN for that long. Also, I love what I do and I still love what I do. You know, for me, you know, it's really a blessing that I'm grateful for. That's probably the most shocking thing. If you, you know, back then, you know, when I started back in July in 1992, if you would have told me that at my age now that I'd still be on TV doing what I do, that would be the surprising thing, no matter where I was, you know, no matter, even if it wasn't at ESPN. So I think that's a great thing. And I think there's a lesson here that I try to share, you know, with young people like you is that, you know, the grass isn't always greener. I know that's cliche, but I think you have to really prioritize what's most important to you. And what I loved about ESPN and staying there and growing and getting better each day at ESPN is that, you know, the viewers, you know, maybe it's changed a little bit now, who knows, but the viewers over the years, they're, you know, they're people like me. They're sports nuts. They're fans first. That's what I've always been. I've always been a fan first. And I think that's why I've connected to the viewers of ESPN from the beginning because, you know, and it wasn't like an act because I'm one of them. And I think that's been a big reason for the longevity as well.
And that's great to hear, because I was wondering that, because, you know, sometimes when you're working in a field and you're working someplace for so long, and it is, I mean, it's work. People look at it as fans and they say, oh, it's so awesome. You work in sports. I love it. You get to work, talk sports all day. But it's also a job, and it's hard, and it's a lot of work. A lot goes into it, a lot of preparation. But do you still feel that? Do you still feel that with all the work that you still get to be a fan and just love sports and love what you do?
Yeah, I made sure of that, right? I mean, there was a time early on at ESPN where I didn't feel comfortable being a fan because I felt they made me uncomfortable if I let out who I liked, who I rooted for. We've lost a great human being. He was a very good friend of mine and fabulous at what he did. And that's Stuart Scott. And I think his love for the Tar Heels of North Carolina, he didn't hold back on SportsCenter. And that, when I saw him take that chance and just kind of let that out, and then I'm like, well, you know, that's great, Stuart, you know, because I think people need to know that, hey, you know, I'm a big Rangers fan. I'm a big Giants fan. You know, I'm a huge Mets fan. And so I started to let that stuff out. You know, and it was fun. So I always pay homage to the great Stuart Scott. So, but you know, you brought up a key word, Brittany, that it takes preparation, right? Yeah. You know, to do this job. And sure, every job is hard work, but the preparation has always been the key. If I'm not prepared for something, whether it's SportsCenter or, you know, or covering an NHL game, which I do now because ESPN has the NHL package, which is great. Yeah. If I'm not prepared, I don't feel confident. Like I feel like I'm back starting out, you know, mm-hmm. and I get nervous.
Yeah,
I get nervous when I'm not prepared. And now I over-prepare for a lot of things. Maybe not SportsCenter per se, because I kind of keep track of stuff that, you know, the basic stuff. Because like I told you, you know, I know. It comes automatically that I know what the hell's going on in the NFL and the NBA, you know, just because I follow, you know, stuff. But, yeah. You know, but when you're being a reporter, okay, or, you know, you have that opportunity to do something that's a little off the beaten path for you, because people associate me with being a studio anchor, right. Because that's the bulk of my career has been that, which I've enjoyed. You know, I have to make sure I'm prepared. You know, I like this week is an example. It doesn't happen all the time, but I have two hockey games to cover. I covered one last night and I have another one tomorrow night, but I don't have a break in between because then I host In the Crease, the hockey highlight show on ESPN Plus the other nights, you know? So I'm like, okay. So I got to figure out how to prepare and interview players and then come back to the rink and then go back there at night, you know? So it's always challenging. And I think that's good for me. I really do. I like being challenged.
And that's probably what keeps it going, you know, because you have that challenge. It's something new every day, even though, like you said, it becomes formula. You could get on and host SportsCenter or do this, whatnot. But having that challenge, I'm sure, is what keeps that edge and keeps you going. And it's always something new and fresh. And that's what I think is great about sports, too, is that it's always changing. There's always something new happening each day is day to day and as things are coming in. But you know, in kind of my preparation, I knew you were a fan of hockey, and I knew that you host a lot of hockey with ESPN and now them having it back on the station. But what I didn't know until I was doing my research is that you played hockey growing up, and that as a teenager, you were actually playing on the boys team and played on your high school boys team, which I thought was fascinating and so cool.
Yeah. Thanks, Brittany. I love when interviewers like you bring that up, because that was just an incredible part of my life and my childhood. I was a kid with very low self-esteem growing up. I mean, I wear glasses now full time, but back then I wore like really thick glasses. Mm-hmm. And I had no confidence, but I always loved sports and I always loved music, you know, pop music, you know, but, and you know, I just loved it probably as much as sports and still do. But, you know, the sports filled the void, and I played hockey. I was, believe it or not, good. I had good eye-hand coordination, so I wanted to be a goalie. And it kind of being a goalie, you know, so much is dependent on you. You know, that's besides being a point guard in basketball or a quarterback in football. I mean, being a goaltender, you're a game changer, right? You can you can just change everything about the game. And so all eyes are on you. And I kind of welcome that challenge, right? I mean, like I could stink and then no one would want me to be their goaltender. But yeah, I started playing and I was good at it. And when I made the high school team and played with the, you know, the guys on the team, it was fabulous for me. I mean, it was better than the senior prom. Like, I didn't care about the senior prom. Okay? I didn't even care. Because if I couldn't go out with the captain on the hockey team or the star quarterback, no thanks.
I'd rather
sit home with my dad and watch a game. Literally. I'm like, nah, I don't get it. Because, you know, back in the day, Brittany, you know, the prom was a big deal. It wasn't like now or the last 20 years where friends go with friends, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was like serious stuff. So, you know, playing hockey with these guys and getting their respect. And that really kind of, and I've talked about this, and actually I wrote about it back in 08 when I put out a funny look at myself, an autobiography called Conehead. You can get it cheap on Amazon now. It's probably like $2. But I, you know, it prepared me for this position, this job, even before ESPN, of breaking barriers, not worrying about what other people say about you. Because, you know, as a goalie, you got to block out the noise. You got to block out, although you got to have a short memory after a bad goal or, you know, and that's what you have to do in this business, right? You know, if you screw up, if you stumble, right, Brittany? I mean, to this day, I'm like, I got to forget about it. Like last night, I was covering the Kings game, Kings Minnesota Wild, and it was my first on camera in the first period. And I wasn't used to all the stuff going on around me. I was like, I was in the tunnel to do this report when the Zamboni comes out. So the Zamboni just came out. Then the guys that do the clean the ice with their little shovels, they were banging. And here I'm trying to do a report. And I kind of like in the first couple of lines of it, you know, I was like, I stumbled a little bit, like probably any human wouldn't care. No, but I noticed and I was like, I'm not going to let that happen again. Damn it. You know, like, and so the rest of the night, it was great. So, yeah, see, to this day, you have to kind of block stuff out. And well, but the hockey and playing with the boys really prepared me for, you know, being a girl in a man's world.
There really were not many females in this world of sports media, and being one of the few there in a whole group, kind of the boys club. What was that like for you? And how did you lean on that confidence going into that position? Did you feel pressure at that time being one of the only few?
Well, it did help me that my first job in the business wasn't ESPN. I had tons of other jobs in sports, doing sports updates for like before sports talk for like in New York City, like WCBS AM and, you know, the ABC radio network. So I already had that built into me of working with guys mainly and just a few other women, maybe a couple of women, but not a lot. So that really helped when I made that jump to ESPN in 92. And, you know, there was definitely pressure, but I embraced the pressure. I welcomed the pressure, but boy, I put a lot of the pressure on myself as well because I wanted to be perfect. You know, I didn't want to give anybody ammunition to say, oh, well, she doesn't belong here, you know. And back then, there was no social media, but that doesn't mean you didn't hear the complaints because people, they were like, if you would call ESPN, they would say, oh, Linda Cohn, yeah, here's her voicemail. Here you go. And you would get these like...
You'd get voicemails.
You'd get like from people who are from like different parts of the country who never saw a woman deliver sports before and totally freak out. And men, women, whoever, it doesn't, you know, they just didn't get it. So I had to block all that out. And that's really how it helped me. Being a goaltender, you know, how you have to block out stuff. That's where it really helped me the most. And but there were times, Brittany, where I really took it personally, which I shouldn't have. I mean, this was everything about how I looked, how I stood, how I this, how I that, you know, how I sounded, that, you know, instead of like, oh, yeah, but, you know what I mean? Yeah,
but like, it's but you had, and the fact that a lot of that pressure, like you said, was on yourself of wanting to be perfect. And I think probably you feeling that a little bit more, I don't know, maybe for the guys, it was a little more, they could do what they were doing, get away with it. But you felt that, like you said, need that I had to be perfect because there were going to be extra eyes focused on me.
Absolutely. And again, it's not more, you know, complaining. I mean, that's not me. I actually frown upon, you know, women who are in the business who, you know, complain and whine and tweet about, oh, this guy said this. how about don't look at your mentions, you know, who cares, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, but, you know, back then, I would kind of add, a lot of people thought, and they were, I was like, mostly I got a lot of positives, right, back yeah. in the day, but I would let that one little thing bug me, you know, the one person, you know, or the, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm like, God, what am I letting that jerk get to me? Then he wins, yeah. you know? So that's also what I learned, you know, back then. But, you know, to this day, they're still out there. You know, people are still now with social media. They have nothing better to do. Like, I'll give you yeah. an example. I mean, last night I did the game, you know, and I'm interviewing players. And, you know, when you're running around, I wear sneakers. I'm not wearing heels. And by the way, I'm at a, you know, an ice rink, for God's sakes. I'll slip and kill myself. I'm not
and
wearing
And you're
heels.
On your feet all the time.
Right,
you're
all the day. You're right,
moving,
moving around.
You're on your feet. Yeah.
And I'm 5'5", right? So I'm not super tall. So anyway, long story short, so I'm in my sneakers. So I'm doing these player interviews and they come out off the ice wearing skates. So they're already tall and then they're on skates. So like I look, you know, I hardly look at my mentions, but I did because the anthem singer, this wonderful young woman who's a big hockey fan, sang the anthem at crypto.com last night for the Kings. Hannah is her name. So she posted a picture. So I was like, so as I was looking, it's some losers like, oh, I can't decide if Gabriel Velarde of the Kings was 10 feet tall or you were standing in a pit. I mean, of all the things to post about. But you know what, Brittany? I was thinking about that and I'm thinking, huh, tomorrow night, maybe I should force myself to wear some, you know, wedge heels, even though it's going to hurt.
Yeah. Just because of what this guy says, he didn't have to hear what this.
Yeah. yeah.
No, wear the flats, wear it. I was talking to last week to Kimberly Martin too. And we were talking about
she's
that.
Great. People I'm a wanna, big fan you know, of a big fan of Kmart. She's good.
Yeah, she's wonderful. I love talking to her. And we were talking about that too, that a lot of people make mentions of her too, because she wears sneakers with her dresses or whatnot.
Love and it's it.
Like, what do you want us to walk around with our feet hurting all day for what?
Yes.
For you? No, we got to do what's best for us. That's
okay, good. I'm glad you shared that because I love her and she just is so her, you know?
Yeah.
Her look yeah. is just beautiful and she does not care.
That's one thing when I first started working in media and I couldn't read any of the comments because there was always yeah. someone. There's a lot of positive, but there's always yes. those people out there. And I don't think they realize that. And it does. It as much as you don't want it to bother you or get to you, sometimes it does and it sticks there. So I got to a point where I said, I'm just not going to read anything. It's there. I'm going to miss through some people's comments, but forget all the naysayers.
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
So I know being at ES for 30 years, you've worked with so many different people and so many different co-hosts. And I'm sure you get asked a lot, you know, well, who is your favorite to work with? And that I don't want to ask, but I'm sure with all the people you've worked with, you've got great stories or memories of working with these people. So I'm going to give you a couple names. And I just want you to tell me the first thing that comes to mind, either about that person or a memory that you have working with them or something that you might have learned from them during your time there. So I'm going to start with Chris Myers.
Chris Myers, he was my first, of course. I did the first Sports Center I ever did with Chris Myers. It was a 2 a.m. Eastern Sports Center, half hour long on a Saturday night. And he was so welcoming and supportive and great. And he always made me laugh. But then again, a lot of these guys that I work with made me laugh. But Chris was the best just because, you know, he was just very, very supportive of me. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, doing my first Sports Center with him.
And there's something always about the first. You'll never forget your first, right?
That's right.
For sure. Well, you said making you laugh. And my guess is this guy probably made you laugh quite a bit. But Kenny Mayne.
He made me laugh constantly. He just is, you know, I wrote it in my book, Conehead, once, like, all he would have to do, you know, if I'm on camera, he wouldn't have to say anything. He'd just turn his head to look at me like that while I'm reading. And I lost it a number of times where back in the day you were able to do fixes, you know, when you were doing the overnight show and it was going to be run 8 times overnight, you know, they want it to be perfect.
They and so can when make I'm little edits then.
Yeah, okay. You know, type of thing, right? Oh, but Kenny's a great. I know he's no longer with ESPN, but I still keep in touch with him. He's just, I don't know. It's just, he's just a, he's just a very honest, genuine way about him. And mm-hmm. he is funny.
Another one, Dan Patrick.
Dan's interesting. I respect Dan so much, but the great story that comes to mind about Dan Patrick, two stories actually, in that getting back to wanting to be perfect, wanting to be funny, wanting to, mm-hmm. you know, attempt to have a catchphrase. I stole one of his and I screwed it up while I was on the air with him. You know, like, I forgot what it was, but I totally delivered it wrong type of thing. I was trying to, you know, be funny. And that, you know, that was what was, I got caught doing the first couple of years. And mm. And that wasn't me. Not that I'm not funny. I'm funny. But I was just trying to be something I'm not, instead of being myself. And, you know, I was always nervous working with Dan. I mean, he was great and also supportive. The other thing, when I found out I got the job at ESPN, another guy I used to work with, Gary Miller, also of ESPN, you know, Gary told me to call Dan before I, you know, headed east and joined, because I was in Seattle at the time, to get the rundown of how it is. You know, oh yeah, Dan will be happy to talk to you. And we got on the phone, we chatted, and then Dan says to me, he goes, you know, a lot of the women that have come before you here have failed. Like, who says that? Dan Patrick did.
Like, you know, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to get me more nervous about coming to Bristol. But, you know, I think that was just his nature. And, you know, he says what's on his mind. And now I really like Dan. He, what a career he had and continues to have.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about SportsCenter too that I think was so classic, especially early on, is known for their This Is SportsCenter commercials. You were a part of quite a few of them. Are there any that stick out in your mind that were favorites?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. I wanted to do more. I didn't think I was doing as many as I wanted to. I don't think you know, because it was so, that was the thing. Brittany was so competitive. We were all competitive. We wanted to do that. You made us feel like movie stars, TV stars. It's just so much fun, and to work with the athletes and all. But I enjoyed a bunch of them. You know, the more recent ones, the ones I did with Damian Lillard, with my colleague Stan Verrett, were really fun. And Dame was great. You know, Dame Time. We did play off of that and all that fun stuff with him. But, you know, the early ones were great, when I got to do with my two favorite goaltenders on the New York Rangers, Mike Richter back in the early days, and then Henrik Lundqvist. Funny story about Henrik Lundqvist, and, you know, anyone who may or may not know this, he's a very good looking man, right? I mean, he's just stunning. Ask Mons about that. He's just stunning. And so he showed up to do his first SportsCenter commercial, and he comes with like this big, you know, like suit bag. And the producer is like, hey, what do you got in the bag? And Henrik, or Hank, as these people call him. So oh, I got a bunch of suits, you know, that can wear for the commercial. And the producer's like, no, we don't need you in a suit. Sorry, Hank. We need you to wear your goalie equipment for these commercials. I mean, like, he was all set to like show off his style.
You know, put it on a tie, you know, have the whole thing laid out.
Yeah. So that was really cute and funny. And then the other thing is, there was a commercial a couple of 2 years ago, probably right before COVID, that Kenny Mayne actually was like the host of the commercial. He was telling the story about a daycare center of something. And I was not even in the commercial, but it's one of my favorites, because it's a little child actress at the very end. It was with Manny Machado, and he's just sitting there on his butt, throwing a ball up in the air. He's supposed to be watching these kids. And then this little girl at the end, like, had the greatest punchline and said, I want to meet Linda Cohn. You know, like, that, like whining. It was at like an ESPN daycare facility. So yeah. I thought it was like one of my favorite commercials, and I wasn't even in it.
You weren't in it, but you were in it. You were there. She wanted to meet you. And that's true. Like I said, when you said that, it kind of reminds me that so many, I feel like, young women are in this field because of you. They saw a spot for themselves. They saw representation for themselves, and saw that there was a path for them in this field. And you kind of paved that way. So for someone to working in sports and who has done that, I'm sure, I'm saying this for a lot of people out there, but thank you for really paving that path and allowing us to see a place for ourselves in this field because of the hard work.
I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that, Brittany. And then when I hit that 30-year plateau, a lot of talented young women like yourself who are in the business, reached out to me, said similar things. And, you know, that means so much as I look back. And it's one of the things I'm most proud of in my career, that I helped impact some of these women who are in the business today. And I'm really proud of them.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Honestly, big thank you to you. I am, you know, working in live television, there's always something happening, breaking. You never know, you know, what's going to happen. Were there any moments that you really remember of, you know, breaking news coming in where you had to take that time and not only digest it yourself, but then to relay that to all the viewers and the people that were watching? Were there any moments that kind of stick out in your mind from that, that really, oh gosh, I remember that moment having to tell this news on air?
Yeah. You know, there are multiple kinds of situations, one sad, but one very exciting. So the sad one was when Muhammad Ali passed away and I was on the air. And then I didn't get out of the chair for like 4 hours. And we were just welcoming people who knew the man, who could speak of the man. And we were just nonstop interviewing, you know, about Muhammad Ali and the impact, obviously well-documented. And then the other thing that I remember, and I remember I was working with Stan Verrett, and I was out here in LA at the time, and it was a typical like NBA free agent frenzy craziness. And it really came out of nowhere, but we were really ready to, it was like 2:05 a.m. Eastern. It's about 11:05 Pacific. We were ready, like we were doing our final things, ready to go home, you know, like 10 yeah. minutes. And then all of a sudden, like it's so typical, but Kawhi Leonard makes up his mind that he's coming to the Clippers and he's bringing like Paul George with him, you know, and then we didn't get out of that chair for another few hours in the wee hours of the morning. And that was fun, you know, because then again, we had Woj on, we had everybody on, you know, and then we had to have the Laker response. It's almost like politics, right? The Clippers did yeah. something, right? We got to wait. We got to see what the Lakers have to say about this. That was a fun night or morning, depending on where you lived.
Yes, night into morning, the hours and putting in. But I know that's the one thing about live TV, you never know. But I think of those moments and just being able to like relay that information. It's coming in. All this stuff is coming in from left and right and try to process it all and put it out there. But again, part of the fun about working in this field and what keeps you on your toes, that's for sure. Before I wrap up and let you go, obviously, because you are a sports fan, I got to ask you, I know you're a Giants fan, I got to ask you about your team. How surprised or shocked are you, or maybe not, 6-2 right now on the season? I know their division, they've got the Cowboys and obviously the undefeated Eagles, but how proud are you of them and what do you think is in store for them the rest of the season?
Well, I did not see this coming. I did love the coaching hire when it was made, even before the season started, of getting Brian Daboll, because they finally got a guy who knew what he was doing and it showed. I mean, I know the NFL Coach of the Year, I mean, you can make a case for Pete Carroll and obviously Philadelphia and their success. But Brian Daboll has done an amazing job. Why? Because he's done it with Daniel Jones. I've never been a Daniel Jones fan. I know he's a nice kid, a nice guy. I don't care. He's not the future. They're winning in spite of him. He has improved his game only because of Brian Daboll and how he helped Josh Allen become Josh Allen. Sorry, that was my phone going off.
Oh, good.
And so he has done wonders for this team. I think anything less than making the playoffs, I mean, they're in good shape, but we have, you know, one more game, meaning another game to the schedule, 17 games. So barring an incredible collapse, which I don't foresee, I think it's great. I'm really proud of this team. And, you know, I'm happy, even though I don't really want Daniel Jones moving forward, or I don't want them to extend him his contract. Mm-hmm. I am pleasantly surprised to see he's not, you know, throwing interceptions and not fumbling, although I just jinxed that. And I don't know when this is going to air, but I, you know, they play the Texans next and that's a winnable game. And if they lose that, then I'm going to be like, oh, here we go.
Well, now you're making me rethink, because I have a dilemma this week. I'm gonna get your advice, even if this doesn't make it, but I'm gonna get your advice on this. So I have Josh Allen is my quarterback on my fantasy team, but with this UCL injury, and they won't tell me if he's playing, if he's not, if he goes down, my season might be over. But I need to get a quarterback to back up, and I'm looking at Daniel Jones. But after hearing you, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't go with it. I don't know.
No, he's not a good fantasy quarterback, not at all. Is Geno Smith taken? He'd be my next pick.
Geno Smith is gone. He's out. Right now, it's between Daniel Jones and Trevor Lawrence.
Ugh.
I know. That's so. Oh, I know. Come on, Josh.
If it's between those two, I just said, because you get more. Let me ask you something. You get more points for. I'm not a big fantasy girl. You get more points for touchdowns, or like running, because Daniel Jones can run for first downs. Daniel Jones can fire off rushing yards.
You do. But, you get points for the rushing yards. That was the one reason I was thinking Daniel Jones, because he has rushed for quite a few yards looking at his stats this season. It's both of them are so meh, but I kind of need something, because I have a feeling that Josh Allen might not be playing this week. And who knows, maybe for a couple of weeks, we shall see. But my only hope is he little dink off passes to Saquon. Saquon scores a touchdown. That counts as a touchdown to Daniel Jones too. Yeah. So that's my hope.
Yeah. And I think Trevor Lawrence this year has turned the ball over more than Daniel Jones, which is shocking. Not that I'm a Trevor Lawrence fan, because I don't think he's that great either. And he was the number one overall pick. And Daniel Jones should never have been selected as high as he was selected, but that's another story for another time. But, I don't know. I'd go for the underdog then. If it was only between those two, then I'd pick Daniel Jones and hope for the best. Right.
All right. I appreciate it. I appreciate your advice and your help on my pick this week. I do. And I really do thank you for taking the time to talk to me. It really has been an honor. Like I said, you're someone that I have watched for so many years. I have admired, and it just really was a pleasure getting to talk with you and have you on this podcast with me. So thank you again.
Thanks for the kind words, and thanks for having me. Continued success, Brittany.
Thank you so much, Linda.